Hello everybody, Manzone, and this is Man's Guide Talk for Thursday, 24th of August, 2023. In this week's episode, we've got plenty of things to talk about. Rather, it's been a bit of a slow week, but we've got things to talk about. The PlayStation Portal, it's finally been revealed in full. We're going to get the PlayStation Portal, a complete device letting you do PS5 remote play comfortably. You'll be able to switch from your PS5 to the handheld in no time. And then we're going to talk about that a little later. After that, we're going to talk about iPhone 15 rumors. And as I've said, it's a slow week, so we got things to talk about. So let's get rolling, shall we? First up is the PlayStation Portal. It's basically a new device from Sony, a new accessory. We've talked about it many months ago as it was known as Project Q. But now it's a proper device that's going to come out later this year called the PlayStation Portal. It's basically designed for PlayStation 5 remote play. It lets you play games at full HD 60 FPS, so it's limited to 60 frames a second on an 8-inch display. On top of that, it apparently supports Sony's like custom codec for their wireless audio gear, so you can connect it to the portal and get the 3D sound. And also you're able to take in calls from your phone over Bluetooth similarly. So that's pretty interesting. It's a quirky feature, but if you don't want to use Bluetooth headphones, you can use the 3.5mm headphone jack. And as I said, it only does remote play, but it costs $200, so it's pretty interesting in a way. Now, the thing I want to add is that we got some more details. Firstly, PlayStation VR and cloud streaming games which run through PlayStation Plus will not be supported on this device. And most likely, like the actual remote play feature, you won't be able to access Netflix and other sort of, you know, streaming services because there's DRM or remote play potentially. So this is something to keep in mind. It kind of works over Wi-Fi, does not work over cellular data, but you can do a workaround. Obviously, there are workarounds to being able to use PlayStation 5 remote play over cellular, but it's just a device that lets you do remote play from your PS5. If you play a lot of games on your PlayStation 5, this is a pretty cool accessory for $200. If you ask me for my hot take, I wouldn't honestly buy it because this isn't the PlayStation Vita 2. It isn't the handheld that Sony has been looking to offer. It's not the handheld we wanted. It's kind of good for those who obviously play a lot of their games on handheld devices. If you play the PS5 quite a lot and you're not anywhere near a TV, then it's a pretty good device in that sense of the word. $200 is pretty good, but if you're looking for a $200 accessory for a PlayStation 5, this next one is going to be pretty interesting. And this is one I actually would recommend you guys to get if you have a PlayStation 5 and you really want to spend that kind of money. The Pulse Elite and the Pulse Explore are pretty interesting. These are Sony's latest premium audio gear for the PlayStations, generally for the PS5. So the Pulse Elite is a headset and the Pulse Explore is the earbuds. Both are the first audio gear, or really the first wireless audio devices to come with planar magnetic drivers for audio file level listening and for basically that 3D audio feel, so you can hear every gunshot, every footstep, every sort of dim and hum and bass. It's incredible, truly, and it's normally found in premium headphones, so much so that Sony is apparently acquiring a company that actually makes headphones with those types of drivers. It's called Audizi. They've apparently bought that company, and it's going to be part of the PlayStation family, and that's pretty cool in a way. And they've apparently used that company's technology for these devices. So basically, the Pulse Explore is like an earbud. Also has planar magnetic drivers, which again would be the first in the market to do so. And Elite is basically the latest PlayStation Elite headset. But again, it comes like a detachable mic. It has a adjustable headband, and it's pretty cool in a way. And it comes with AI enhanced noise rejection, so it can filter out background noises when you are obviously talking to your buddies over group chat and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool, premium audio product, or pretty cool premium earbuds or headphones if you think about it. The Pulse Explore will cost set you back $200 as the earbuds, and Elite is $150 US or $149.99. It's a pretty interesting device. The Pulse Elite though is a much better purchase if you use the PS5, but don't happen to obviously you don't but you don't really use Remote Play enough that you justify getting the PlayStation Portal, frankly, the Pulse Elite is a good idea. It's a good purchase, frankly, because audio really, when I think about it, and when I really think about it, I think for any gamer, I mean, headphones is really the best upgrade you can get for your, when you're playing a lot of games, usually FPSs and MMORPGs or whatever variety of games you like to play. Usually headphones are the best upgrade you can do, because the audio off your TV or your earbuds, you use standard earbuds like I'm using, you won't feel or hear much, but these ones you can hear a lot more detail, and I think that's a better purchase irrespective. These two wireless audio, these two headphones and earbuds, as you all call it, both use something called PlayStation Link, which, as I said, gives you low latency, lossless audio, and easy switching between different devices like the PlayStation 5 and the Portal and so on and so forth. And yeah, generally speaking, as I've said earlier, if you're using these earbuds on the PlayStation 5, the Pulse Explorer earbuds, you can connect them to your phone and your PlayStation 5, and you can take a call and obviously talk to someone on the phone, because again, it's connected to both your phone and the PlayStation 5 at the very same time. I think this is probably one good selling point of the Pulse Explorer generally as a $200 earbuds, but as I said, compared to the PlayStation Portal, the Pulse Elite, it's a better purchase. You save $50, you get a lot more because you get more richer sound, and that basically boosts your gaming experience to a degree. I mean, gaming headsets are very popular for a reason, so the Pulse Elite makes sense. The Portal, again, unless you do a lot of remote play, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, as I said, or might as well invest in wireless headphones, especially gaming headsets, because you can get a lot more out of them compared to a actual device that only does remote play generally. Alright, switching gears from PlayStations to iPhones, the iPhone 15, we're quite close to launch. We're obviously hearing more and more details about the iPhone 15 series. The latest one I have is that it'll definitely come with USB-C, but apparently it'll be limited to USB 2.0 speeds, according to a researcher on Twitter, or X. User Maijin Bu has reported that, quote, new iPhone 15 USB-C cable information has sort of been confirmed. It's going to be 1.6 meters long, as the cable in the box has 16 pins roughly for USB-C, thicker and more resistant apparently. It is fixed at up to 20 volts at 3 amps, so that's up to 60 watts, up from 15, so about 15 to it supports, based on the testing that this person's done, it supports anywhere between 15 to 60 watts of charging generally, and has no MFI chip or no made for iPhone chip. So this sort of this, you know, communication chip that talks to the iPhone and says, hey, I'm an authorized Apple cable, you know, let me charge, and it then charges it normally quickly. But apparently, according to him, there's no MFI on this. It's limited to USB 2.0 and can support pretty much up to 60 watts out of the gate. So that's pretty interesting in a way. And some people are saying that apparently that this is not the Thunderbolt cable we were promised, and apparently Apple will be looking to sell Thunderbolt cables separately instead of having one in the box, so that people who want much faster voltage and speeds will switch over to the Thunderbolt cable. So that's a very interesting situation. But USB 2.0 is obviously just normal USB speeds. It's not going to be out of this world. And the thing is, most consumers won't really tell the difference, especially because iPhone users are usually the casual kind, the casual type. They're not going to tell the difference that, oh, this is quite slow. When you do plug it into your computer or Mac to do some iTunes transfers or move stuff out of your iPhone, you won't be able to tell the difference unless you use it back and forth. So that's pretty interesting in a way, but who knows, the iPhone 15 itself would have Thunderbolt support, you just need to get separate cables for it. So that's pretty interesting. While we're at it, according to 9to5Mac, they've learned that the iPhone 15 Pro will only be coming in gray and blue colors for the titanium variant. So apparently It'd be difficult to make a gold and blue colored finishing in titanium, and pretty much we're going to be getting space gray, space black, sorry, silver and gray for the titanium, well, for the iPhone 15 Pro. There'll be a titanium variant, so that's pretty interesting in a way. And no gold and no blue, so that's fairly annoying. But you might expect to see the dark blue color that we've seen in the previous year's iPhone Pros, that we've seen, but we're getting it for the 15 Pro. And the gray color, in case you're wondering, is called Titan Gray, and it's a bit of a muted, it's darker than silver, according to 95 Mac, and lighter than space black and graphite. So a lot more silverish. It's hard to tell in by speaking about it, but in the pictures we see it in 95 Max's article. It's somewhere, as they've said accurately, it's darker than silver, lighter than graphite, and it's a very interesting tone. And if this actually comes in, let's just say in the titanium finishing that they're planning to do, it will look interesting, pretty much. That is so, but of course, the regular iPhone 15 will be coming in a whole bunch of colorful colorways, if that's really a word. And I'll be more there'll be more popping, because you know, iPhone, the folks who buy the iPhone 15 are going to be casual consumers, so they need something cheerful, whereas the Pro is more sophisticated. Naturally, historically, the iPhone 14 Pro and the other iPhone Pros that have come out have always been classy and sophisticated, and this one is no different. So that's interesting in a way. And let's see for early September what Apple is cooking up for the iPhone 15 Pro. It's going to be expensive, one thing I will warn you ahead of time. So if you haven't gone out and started saving for a new iPhone, you might as well do it now, because it's going to cost you a hefty penny. Even after trading in, it will still cost you a good amount of money to upgrade. All right, let's talk about Android. The Oppo primarily is going to be doing a launch event next week on August 29th, so that's basically this coming Tuesday. They'll be showing off the Oppo Find N3 Flip and the Watch 4 Pro, their latest sort of premium devices. And we also have kind of gotten like a little teaser of the devices. The Find N3 Flip is a much fancier than the N2 Flip. It's obviously, we see the triple camera setup with Hasselblad lenses, and obviously tuning for the cameras generally, and slightly and also decently large hour display that covers sort of the top right of the display altogether. And the Watch 4 Pro, which is a smartwatch, I don't really look at Oppo's smartwatches, but this one's going to be definitely interesting when it comes out. It has a slightly curved display, a slightly curved panel. It reminds me of those like sports watches, or it's got this look of I'm trying to think of the watch brand here, not Hublot, but sort of Richard Mille style, but it's a little more affordable, you know, like if you know what I mean, with the leather and rubber strap. It looks quite interesting, and it's the slightly curved display looks nice though, not gonna lie. So can't wait for these Oppo devices generally. While we're at it, this coming Monday, August 28th, Realme is going to also be doing another event. It's going to be doing a launch event for their GT5 flagship phone. Now, in case you've missed it, Realme's flagship series is the GT series, the GT phones. And we've had the GT3 in the past year, and now we're going to be getting the GT5. And this is quite interesting, generally, apparently based on teasers. Also, at this event, pretty much, we'll also be getting new wireless earbuds, apparently. So that's going to be one to watch. That's going to be the one to watch, pretty much. But the Realme GT5, in case you missed it, apparently will be coming, based on teasers, will be coming with the same sort of design as the previous GT phone, with that kind of glyph interface knockoff that we've seen on the GT3. It's a little more polished and well finished. If that's really the word to describe here, you'll get a 5,240 mAh battery, 240-watt fast charging, and a Super Wook S power management chip. So this is straight off. Okay, it's been a long while since I've seen a Realme phone, so it might be out of out of the loop here, pretty much, but a super weak ass power management chip, apparently, based on the teasers for the phone. On top of that, apparently we can see that in the teaser video and photos that this will be coming with the Snapdragon 8 Gen 2 because it's mentioned on the phone on the rear, interestingly. And apparently the color for this phone, which looks quite elegant and quite premium, is apparently called Flowing Silver Mirror. Man, if this is the name in Chinese and they've translated it, it sounds epic almost. But apparently the looks have been achieved with breakthrough glass technology in the mobile industry. And apparently will be the best looking Realme, and you bet that it really is a good looking Realme, not gonna lie. So it's pretty interesting in a way. Also, as I said, like most Realme phones, it'll come with 240 watt fast charging, so that's pretty impressive already on its own. And apparently this is not, this may not be the case, but we might be getting 24 gigabytes of RAM and 1 terabyte of storage on this GT5 as like a top variant. So that's pretty interesting, that is. So can't wait for the GT5. They're gonna do the event this coming Monday, August 28th, so really another phone to look out for, because it's Realme's flagship, pretty much, unlike other phones out there, that is. Alright, like most of you, I'm kind of excited for a lot of these new flagship phones coming out next couple of months. Potentially the new OnePlus 12, the S24 series, the iPhone 15 series. But one thing I'll say is they're very expensive. They cost you an arm and a leg and a kidney to get one. And they're very expensive. The Realme GT5 alone would probably be a $700 phone if it was released outside of China. But it's not going to be the case. Even if you import it, it will cost you a lot of money. What if you wanted an affordable flagship? Samsung's got your back almost, and that's because Samsung might be looking to launch the S23 FE. We've heard back and forth over the past year or two that Samsung might be releasing S23 FE. Then was almost shelved. Then rumors sort of start popping up that they're gonna release the phone, and now we got a little more information about the S23 FE, courtesy of a leaker on Twitter/X, Yogesh Barar. According to him, the S23 FE will be coming with a 6.4-inch FHD Plus Dynamic AMOLED 120Hz display. Either the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 or the Exynos 2200, depending on the market, you'll be getting the S23 FE in. So if you're in Europe, for example, you might get the Exynos. The US might be getting the Snapdragon. And on other countries, you might be getting either of the two based on the spec. So I remember this with the S21 FE. How they did it was that there was a 4G variant of the S21 FE, and then that came with the Exynos chip. And then the S21 FE 5G variant came out with the Snapdragon chip, very much of the time. That was like the yesteryear chip. So they might do that also in some markets, but honestly, I think it'll be a territorial thing. And some countries will be getting a Snapdragon, and others will be getting Exynos, so that'll be interesting in a way. The camera on the back will be interesting. 50 megapixel main OIS, a sensor, 8 megapixel ultra-wide potentially, and 12 megapixel telephoto, along with a 10 megapixel front-facing selfie camera. Android 13 will be available out of the gate on the S23 FE, along with One UI 5.1. But you'll be getting the typical 4 years of full software updates, plus 5 years of security updates through and through, that Samsung does bring on lots of their devices. 4500 mAh battery, a 25 watt fast charging, which is just normal fast charging at this point, as expected. You also get wireless charging and an IP rating. So this is really a $700 phone right out of the gate. This easily would cost over $600 to $700. This probably would target the same kind of crowd that would be looking to get the Pixel 8 and also the base spec iPhone 15, because that will now cost a pretty penny, as I've said earlier. So Samsung might be looking to target this phone at that crowd and price it quite competitively at the $700 mark. I might be saying it quite confidently, but $600 to $700 is not a outlandish price for this phone, given the specs you're getting. You're getting 120Hz display, FHD Plus, the Snapdragon processor, any equivalent Exynos chip, the cameras, the wireless charging, easily over $600 for such a phone. And again, it might be coming out, apparently according to Barar, it will be coming out in September, according to him. So we're not far from the S23 FE coming out. So it looks to be a pretty good phone, and really the one that you'd want to get if you're in the market for a flagship quality phone, but you don't have the budget for one. So pretty interesting phone that is. Who knows, it might kind of be to smartphones what the moon swatch is to watches, you know. If you, in case you've missed it, in the world of watches, the moon swatch blew up because it apparently was Swatch's take on Omega's Moonwatch, which was the Speedmaster Moonwatch, was very popular and quite iconic in a way. So it might be just that, the fan edition phones in Samsung is kind of like what we see in the world of fashion and watches, where they were like a fast fashion or a major watch brand, affordable one like Swatch, for example, would make like a more affordable version by collaborating with a premium brand. Here in this case, you're getting a more affordable version of a premium product. So, but as I said, easily this could be an over $600 phone nonetheless. So while we're already talking about Samsung, let's kind of touch upon this one. Apparently a leaker or tipster on X/Twitter, tech_Reeve, has claimed that Samsung might be launching a phone with a rollable OLED display in 2025 that will go alongside the Z Flip 7 and Z Fold 7 potentially when that comes out, or the 6 kind of, which is, the Z Flip 7 and Fold 7. Apparently, according to them, or this person, the rollable phone will have a improved underpanel camera, so you won't see any like cutouts for the camera, but it'll sort of be there, but it won't be visible. And apparently, the display is also claimed to have zero bezels, which means it will be edge to edge. And that's pretty much it for the rumor. And also, given the fact that Samsung actually is working on these sort of displays, including trifold displays, rollables, and also regular folding screens. So that's pretty interesting rumor. By 2025, we might see a rollable phone. It's not far off. It's not outlandish, frankly, because if you think about, LG made a concept phone that was supposed to be released, I think in 2021, I believe, that was a rollable phone, but that didn't really happen. So now we have this potentially as a spiritual successor to the LG rollable. Who knows, we might get that in 2025. So that's pretty interesting nonetheless. And finally, I kind of want to touch upon something pretty cool real quick. Ford has sort of released a limited edition F-150 Lightning EV, the F-150 Lightning Platinum Black, a limited edition. Only 2,000 will be made, and we'll be shipping early next year, and it'll start at $97,995. It's limited edition F-150 Lightning. It's a all matte black wrap, just like MKBHD would want, which is pretty interesting. It's apparently their first ever matte wrapped production truck. You can get, like, if you go to like third party garages, you can get matte wrappings for your you can get your car wrapped in matte. Apparently, I read it on Reddit earlier today that apparently in Bahrain, I mean where I live, it's apparently illegal to wrap your car in matte finish because, you know, no one's going to catch you if it's a matte. It'll reflect back, which is pretty interesting. So this car wouldn't be sold in Bahrain if it ever would. But if you live in the US, where this this EV is going to be sold overwhelmingly, it's a limited edition F-150. It's wrapped all in matte black. It's basically MKBHD's F-150 if you ever got one, because it's matte black. And who doesn't love having matte black on their on their truck, that is. And it also got pretty cool design accents. You got all black front header, sort of the Lightning badge sort of hidden in the matte, sort of reflective when it hits the light, so you can see the Lightning in the matte black finishing. But on top of that, you have that matte black accent everywhere on the front of the car, as I've said before, on the wheels, on the rims, on the things, on the little thing, I don't know what you call it, where you step onto your truck, the cover of the truck bed, and on the inside also. So it's all matte black, and it's wonderful in a way. And speaking of which, this limited edition F-150 Lightning will have the 300-mile extended range battery as standard. So that's pretty exciting as an electric truck, and it looks pretty badass, but there's only 2,000 of them. So if you really want to get one of these, might as well head right down to a Ford dealership and get your hands on this pretty sick looking truck. This is really like Ford sort of stepping the up to the plate with Tesla and the Cybertruck, sort of trying to be as badass as the Cybertruck. But both trucks are unique in their own way, and one is none the better than the other, pretty much, if that's even a sentence that I've said. One isn't really better than the other, but both are really badass, and so is this F-150 Lightning Platinum Black. But if you really want, you still want a spec equivalent to it, there's still the F-150 Lightning Platinum, the top of the line one with the extended range battery. You can get that, and then you can wrap the car in matte black, so you get the same effect, and obviously switch out the interior for matte black interior finish, so you can get the same effect also. And well, but it won't be a limited edition car straight from the factory, but still, matte black is a pretty cool color in a way, and this is such a badass truck, that is. Alrighty, this leads us to the end of this week's episode. What do you think of everything you've heard today, from the PlayStation ports all the way to this pretty sick looking matte black F-150 Lightning? Let me know. I'm on Twitter/X, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at @Zaid_Mao99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe where you're listening right now. Share this to your friends and family. Leave a review on Apple and Spotify. It definitely helps to boost the show a little bit. A little bit of help goes a long way. And yeah, till next week, this is Zaid Mao99. I'm signing out. Where we are, what are we up to? Have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. And again, thank you very much for listening. All right, ciao.